C-minus 82. 10 Downing Street, London, England. Surely now? John Cole said, pointing to his television, and no longer even trying to hide his exasperation at Jack Neal's repeated calls for patience. Chinese GSC gods intimidating Western tourists? It writes itself. To Cole's mind, the time to hit Godfrey had been immediately after the Kerguelen bolide. It was written in the stars, he told Jack, citing the near-blinding irony of the fact that Dan McCarthy's decision to leak the infamous IDA documents in the first place had coincided with a march against Godfrey's leadership, just as the bolide had coincided with one against Cole's. The big difference was that Godfrey had been forced to seize upon McCarthy's leak out of sheer desperation in the hours before a huge protest was set to close down central London for the day, whereas Cole had now been presented with an opportunity to entrench a relatively strong position just one day after a well-timed downpour had saved his own blushes by postponing his detractors' big day out. Cole, never one to miss an opportunity to look strong, had stood defiantly in the storm and promised the handful of hardy camera crews outside number 10 that no act of God, man, or nature would ever hold him back from doing his utmost to keep Britain safe. With no umbrella or jacket, Cole was soaked to the bone in a t-shirt emblazoned with the faces of several recent victims of terrorist attacks. A t-shirt he wore despite most of those victims' families pleading with him not to. And since then, to Cole's mind, his position had only gotten stronger. If the time's not now, when the hell is it? He asked. Jack Neal stood his ground. Soon. Jack was playing a difficult game in attempting to temper the worst of Cole's impatience without tipping him over the edge, and on some occasions this required exaggerated words. One such instance had come only a day earlier when Jack boasted that he had more than enough ammunition to hurt Dan McCarthy via Emma Ford should Dan involve himself on the wrong side of certain issues. Despite their differences, Jack had no desire to hurt Emma, his former protege, and he considered his raising of the possibility to be a regrettably necessary way of stopping Cole from diving headfirst into anything foolish, as he might if he ever came to think that Jack was unwilling or unable to act decisively. I swear, Cole moaned, if Slater gets in first because you make me wait to— She won't say anything firm on this, boss, Jack insisted. She probably won't say anything at all. You know how she's been lately. It was certainly true that both President Slater and Chairman Godfrey had been very reserved in their public manner over the last few months, almost as though they were deliberately staying out of all difficult controversies in the expectation that with enough rope, Cole would eventually hang himself. Another posited reason for their lack of personal engagement, referenced by the media on both sides of the Atlantic, was that everyone by now knew that it was impossible to come out of any spat with John Cole looking good. Indeed, when Cole had on occasion directed testing jabs in the direction of his former mentor, Godfrey had brushed them off and overtly asserted that he knew better than to wrestle with a chimney sweep and expect to come out clean. President Slater, meanwhile, mentioned Cole as rarely as possible. Her approval ratings were too high to risk getting drawn into any petty spats, and most balanced observers now tended to consider her a competent president who had been tremendously unlucky to be in office during the tumultuous months of Richard Walker's self-inflicted fall from grace. So how soon is soon? Cole asked, champing at the bit to make Godfrey's life difficult by driving a well-placed wedge between him and the Chinese government over the potentially combustible situation at Nanzhou. The combination of a flair for controversy like Cole's and a PR intellect like Jack's was tailor-made for the prevailing political climate, one in which any idea that couldn't be condensed into a quotable 5-second soundbite was widely seen as one not worth having, and Cole saw every moment when they weren't making the most of their synergistic gifts as a moment wasted. Jack leaned back in his chair. Boss, anything we say in the next 2 hours will have a shelf life of 2 hours. What are you talking about? This came in from one of my Italian sources, Jack said, flicking through some photos on his phone and settling on the right one. A courier transported it to the Cavalieri Observatory a few days ago. Is that Fiore's place? Cole asked as he reached for the phone. The very same. I don't know what he's going to talk about when he addresses the media in 2 hours, but I think it's safe to say that if it's anything to do with this photo... Godfrey's going to have a shit fit. Cole beamed, his eyes wide in delighted surprise. He'll be all over the place, distracted, vulnerable, ripe for the picking. Jack nodded slowly and put his phone back in his pocket. One of these days you're going to realize that I really do know what I'm doing, boss, he said through a thin smile. Cole said nothing, but he had never been more glad to have Jack Neal at his side.